Welcome to the Fangled Cast, brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Fangled Cast. Today, I'm with a friend, Eric Irwin, who I met years ago when I was with the Avery Dennison guys. He was at that time the big chief VP over at Wilton. And we were talking about creative ways of taking adhesives into the craft space. And the reason I asked him on the show today, he's now the CEO of a company called Floracraft, which I'll let him tell you a little bit about. And these interviews that we're doing now with CEOs are really to understand how do CEOs view the use of marketing inside their company, as well as using outside sources in that B2B space. And Eric, I asked on because his story is a little unique compared to many of the companies we'll be talking to. They do have a space where their product is sold B2B to other companies that use it in their production, but they also sell in the retail space. So we're going to have some interesting gems of conversation, hopefully, as to how his company views. So let me have Eric introduce himself and give you a little bit about his background. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Really, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here, and thank you for bringing me on today. My background is really quite simple. I started in the retail space in the executive training program for Maces of California back when they were a small store in California, right out of college. I got 11 years of merchandising experience. Had a chance to work with some of the true giants in the industry, which was wonderful. I left, went to New York, went with a startup retailer there called Lectors, enjoyed a year and a half there, and then went to Chicago where I joined Wilton Enterprises, which later became the portfolio company of Wilton Brands. There I was the CMO. We managed a lot of creative product brands where we developed inspirational content that we delivered to the consumer either through our educational programs or through digital. And then we converted them by showing them wonderful how-to and gave them the tools they needed to succeed. And so the monetization of the business was around the tools that we created and we sold, whether in baking or knitting or in scrapbooking. That was wonderful. I had a chance to work in private equity for a little while. And I came to Floracraft 4.5 years ago. I was actively retired, but my wife and I were looking for an engagement with a company that was the right size and it was in a community where people went to on vacation. And so it was one of just a handful of companies and opportunities that I had to join. And I got to tell you, I am incredibly happy that we made a decision to come here to Ludington, Michigan to work at Floracraft, which is a 70-year-old business. We are incredibly important to the community. We contribute a lot to our employees and also to the local economy as one of the largest employers here in Mason County. But the business is built around the floral industry, and it started out creating the founder of our company, Lee Shaner, a very generous man, very, very much a leader in the business, realized one day when he picked up a what we call a billet of styrofoam. There's a Dow manufacturer here in town. He found it tossed over the fence, brought it back here. And because they were dying branches and leaves, stuck the branch into the styrofoam and realized that it was a great material for holding up branches and twigs and dried floral. And that led him to believe, hey, I wonder if I could sell this. And he started cutting into different shapes and selling it to the floral industry. And luckily, 30, 40 years ago, the craft specialty chain businesses took hold, places like Michael's and later A.C. Moore and Hobby Lobby and Joann Fabrics. And we started selling our products at retail as a consumer packaged goods company, as well as servicing the floral industry as well.
It's really, really interesting. Going back to sort of the Wilton days, and the thing that I learned the most in our visits when I was dealing with yourself and with your team looking at opportunities was this real focus on customer experience in a way that I actually got more of an education. I think I benefited more than you guys did from the visits. And I'm fascinated with how that in-depth work in understanding that a positive customer experience leads to advocacy and sales, how you're applying that now with the foam products.
Well, I think that the parallels are really a lot. Okay, I used to say at Wilton, the amazing thing about Wilton is that we were able to pull back the curtain in terms of what that master cake decorator did and show the consumer with the proper methodology and instruction that they could do the amazing things that they were hiring someone else to do. And of course, that was where the heritage started with Wilton, is really in the Wilton School of cake decorating. I believe very much the same thing is true within floral design. The fact is you can be, you know, professionally trained, and it can be perceived as a very special skill, one that people with artistic sensibilities can do better than others. But here at Floracraft, we believe, you know, with the correct instruction, anyone can be able to do a fabulous floral arrangement on their own. You don't need to go and hire someone to do what you can do yourself. And in that respect, the idea of how we create content, how we deliver content digitally, how we provide the right tools you need to succeed, and then create that access to the product so you can immediately get it, is really, really critical. If we can make that first experience successful, we know we've got a consumer that can be engaged with us for a very long time.
Yeah, that to me, you know, one of the core basis of my company, Fangled, is teaching people how to convert every touch into voracious advocates for their brand. And one of the keys to that has always been, what, no matter what industry, whether B2B, B2C, or as we always call it, B2H, business to human sales, is if a person has great success right off the bat, every touch they have says, this is where I want to be, they continue to buy, especially in the craft space. You know, you want to teach somebody, I don't know, how to knit, and they just end up with a ball of yarn and a twisted knot. The chances of them picking it back up to take the next step is zero. But if they have that first success, they continue. And getting to that, the competitive landscape, we always talk about alternatives to the solution, not competitors. Because, for example, if I'm buying a foam block to put branches in, the competitors out there may be foam blocks, but it could also be, what, a sheet of cardboard with holes poked in it. It could also be a lump of clay. How are you able, with your current marketing structure, so that people looking to make a branch stand up recognize that you're the best alternative in the market?
Well, we believe that we're the best alternative because we're the easiest to use. You know, it's interesting. I was at a very, very expensive, probably the most expensive restaurant in Phoenix just a year or so back. And we had a private dining room, and it was an Asian restaurant, and there was this beautiful pot that was over in the corner, and they had bamboo sticks all stuck in it. It's, you know, very Zen sort of, you know, Asian decor. Every one of them was like this way.
Yeah.
And I went over to the pot to look inside, and there was no block of RXPS foam that was inside. If there had, they would have been standing up perfectly. Okay. Yep. It would have really been much more of the aesthetic that I think that they were trying to get to. So the real question is how do we make sure that we can inform consumers that our product will provide them the easiest way? You don't have to cut holes in a cardboard box to do it. I mean, all you have to do is punch the stem into our crunchy foam, and it will keep it standing forever, as long as you don't, you know,
yeah,
sort of rotate it around. So it's really that question of informing and instructing, and that really is a big portion of what our marketing is.
It's fascinating. So you currently have an internal team whose responsibility is to continue to look for new places for your product. Where do you see your marketing team's role within the organization is right now?
Well, I'd say that, you know, that for years, and we're a 75-year-old company, we'll be celebrating our silver jubilee this year. So we've been around for a very long time. And while
you don't look that old, Eric.
I'm not, but our founder's 86 years old, and he's still going strong, and he's chairman of the board. So, but I would say that, you know, our first goal in terms of marketing was sort of distribution to the end use consumers, which were for us florists. And the second portion was, how do we create a market in consumer packaged goods through our retail partners, whether it's, you know, a large retailer like a Walmart or a great specialty retailer like a Michael's, Joann's, or Hobby Lobby. And marketing through our retail partners was the number one responsibility that we had. Get the right kind of product, get the right kind of price, and get the right kind of communication on pack, on shelf. Now, over the last several years, what's made sort of one of our most important initiatives is how do we also create those digital assets so that our retailers who realize that you better be omni, okay, you better connect with your consumer through the device first, because that's where they're going to learn about the product, understand it, it's been critical. And I'd say over the last, 2 years, internally building the product detail page content to make sure that we are optimizing our naming, optimizing our benefits, optimizing our photography, optimizing our content that we deliver on a product detail page to increase conversion when someone visits our page has been absolutely critical.
Interesting.
So that was sort of the first stage, is build a team that understood how to create content that could be worked towards conversion in the funnel through our primary partners, right? The second phase is what we're really working on now, okay, is how do we now build that more direct relationship through our own content as consumers, or in probably the most probable phase, the B2B space of other customers who want to come to us, understand the product better, us provide the digital assets to them so they can market on their platforms and become truly omni. And that's where we're spending. We've built our own video studio. We've got our own photography studio. We have our content creators. We're building that out. And over the next 5 years, that's going to be a very, very important initiative for us.
How often do you reach out to external marketing agencies, consultants, independents, copywriters, those kinds of people to accent or complement or do things that you don't intend to do in-house?
No, I think we rely tremendously on outside resources. The trick is to build the capabilities of being able to manage outside resources internally.
Yep.
It's very different than what I had when I was at Wilton, when I had a creative, really my own creative advertising agency over 120 people, content creators, copywriters, package designers, digital experts. I had the entire breadth that a small agency would have. Here, I've got a team of about 12, and they're learning to manage resources in sort of a distributed and varied way in terms of lots of varied outside creators for us, whether it's, package design, copywriters, digital assets, whatever it is. Some of the capabilities we're trying to build internal, and that includes our own internal video, which is something we feel that we should have very deep control over, because the methodology has got to be exactly the way we're thinking in terms of the Floricraft method.
It's really interesting. And one of the issues I've in conversations with other CEOs, when they don't go outside, almost every time it's either they've been burned because they didn't have tools in place to deal with the sort of creeping costs that can happen with external people, or where they feel like the outside marketing companies are more interested in selling the tactical tools that they have that make them the biggest profit rather than actually focus on what is the actual strategic plan of the company. Have you encountered similar, or are there other reasons where you have challenges?
It's interesting, what ends up happening a lot of marketing, internal marketing departments, is they get very, very comfortable working with a particular resource, and they know each other, so they know how to work and they know how to communicate. And as a result, you end up doing things the same way forever. And, that's actually not great for creative. I think the primary goal for us was to build out the internal style guide. And, I call it our digital manifesto.
Absolutely.
Clearly define what it is that we're trying to do. And then, having an engagement with a outside resource that we can make sure that we can quickly communicate and understand what those things are, so that we're much more efficient in our outside creative. It's a process. You got to be a great manager of external resources to be a leader of a creative team anymore in marketing. And so, used to be when I first entered, you know, merchandising and marketing, it was sort of like you just had to have a really good idea. Now you have to have really good ideas that are supported by analytics that really prove that your idea was really good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, you can't just feel about it anymore. You have to prove, you know, when we talk about the conversion funnel, you have to prove that the things you're working on have actually monetized and make sense. So it's quite an evolution over the last 30 years for me anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because we encounter this all the time. We joke among our team, 80% of our new business are people who've been burned by agencies that wanted to sell tactics before there was a strategy. And we also joke that, you know, the project management fees are what agencies use to buy the corporate yacht with. Because, you know, it's kind of a built-in cost. There is project management that happens, but it just seems that the biggest challenge most CEOs are having these days are the creep that's built into contracts. Whereas instead of a not to exceed contract, it's this is how much it's going to be plus this. And by the time this comes back, it's more than the original.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, oh, you really need to have a Facebook campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, well, how are we measuring that? Okay,
yeah.
We're going to measure the number of likes. Are we going to measure it in terms of the number of people that I can move to my, you know, newsletter, and then I can, you know, factor in the right conversion percentage that I can actually sell to from my newsletter. Tell me what that campaign looks like, and those things are the capabilities in a lot of agencies. When you start having this conversation, if they can't specifically tell you what that's going to look like, then they're probably not omni, they're probably not digital, they're probably not exactly at the stage that you need to have if you're really talking about, you know, for us, digital's got to be our primary form of communicating directly with our consumer.
I tried last week, I went grocery shopping and tried to pay with likes and they didn't like it. They made me use cash.
Exactly.
So mean. Well, you know, a lot of guys in the LinkedIn space, I'm pretty prolific. I'm constantly posting, putting out materials for my clients. And I'll get people go, oh, well, you know, I put something out there and got 10,000 views. And I ask the question, how many of those views did business with you this week? And then it gets very quiet. And the question is, do you want one view of someone that you actually can help or can help you in your business? Or do you want 10,000 views? So you can say, hey, I got 10,000 views.
Yeah.
If it isn't measurable, if you can't measure the conversion to actual business, it doesn't matter. We talk about, you know, the voracious advocates every touch, because not only do we want to convert people who do business with our clients into advocates for the brand, we even want the people who didn't do business with us to become advocates for the brand. I mean, how many people out there talk up products that they can't afford, but they just love them? That's just as powerful. And you know, talk just from a marketing perspective. If that's your end goal, if your strategy is that every person who ever hears about your company becomes a voracious advocate for it, that's a pretty powerful strategy going forward.
Absolutely.
When it comes to spending your marketing dollars and creating content, you certainly don't want to create content that gets people buying a competitor or an alternative product. You want them to not just see it and go, my God, I saw that video. What a great idea for my Christmas decorations. I got to go find that Floracraft stuff.
Right, right. Though it is, except we've got sort of two segments. We have a craft side, which I think is usually highly sort of driven by the project that people are sort of looking for. Whether my kids, you know, I don't know if this happened to you, Andrew, but I know I have five kids, and while they're all grown, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'd hear, "Oh, Dad, my science project is due tomorrow."
Yep.
You know, in which case it's like, "What are we going to do? Let's run down to Michael's and buy whatever we need to put that together." But the craft projects, you know, really is like, oh, I'm going to build a solar system. I'm going to do this. So what is the best surface for that? On the floral side of the business, at least in the home decor market, it is driven pretty much by, you know, this is my sense of style. This is the time of year. This is the flowers I want to use. And you have a much more sort of ongoing consumptive cycle that you've got to continually stimulate. In both cases, you've got to have good ideas that people want to be engaged in. But I think that when it comes to brand recognition, at least on a aided awareness standpoint, we're probably fairly high on both. Floracraft sounds like a really important name, but we are probably much stronger on the floral side when it comes to unaided awareness around around our brand because we have been around for a very long time,
sure,
providing those kinds of products for that in-use consumer.
Yeah, what I've discovered in the craft space is if you have no skills, it doesn't matter which product you buy, it's still going to look like it's going to look. But if you have some skills, great products can enhance it and make it even better. What I like about what you guys do is that you're providing content for people without skills to gain those skills using your product. And that's...
Yes, and I'll tell you, we don't have enough of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have skills, you have how-to. Our how-to, we've got to build a lot more. And that's critical. I was having these conversations with some parents recently that were, lamenting that their kid wanted to go into creative writing and journalism. And I told them, are you kidding me? That's probably the greatest career choice they could make right now. Because the ability to explain and tell a story well, mm-hmm. particularly around digital, is going to be one of the greatest values ever in terms of the future. So, we need more content and we need to engage people who can create really good how-to around our content.
Yeah, that's I'm fascinated by the, you know me, I'm a guy who likes to create anyhow, but I'm fascinated by the business and I'm so glad that you had agreed to come on today. I think people are going to get a lot of insight from the conversation. Tell me, is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
Well, I got to tell you, Andrew, I'm just going to throw this out. Today it's going to be announced the National Association of Manufacturers are recognizing Floracraft as one of the leaders in the country.
Wow.
Particularly around our efforts around sustainability. And even though we make plastic foam, the fact that we're making it from post-consumer plastics has sort of given us a reason to say that, if we can show the market that you can actually recycle polystyrene, which is sort of on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to value plastic, then maybe someday recycled plastics could be used to insulate your home. And so NAM, which is one of the largest associations, lobbying association for American manufacturers, has put us in a very unique group of companies that are much larger than us in terms of recognizing our efforts around sustainability. So I'm very proud of our company. I'm very proud of what Floracraft has accomplished, and I'm very proud of this award.
I think that's fantastic. I was in the plastic strapping industry years ago, and the company that I worked for had one of the largest polyester recycling facilities in the world. And basically every time someone would throw their 2-liter bottle, their water bottle, it would get processed. The caps go one way, the bottles go the other. And it became a recyclable packaging material that when collected at the end use could end up coming back and becoming it again. So, plastics get a bad rap because there's a lot of reason. And it's so great to see companies like yours that are giving us reason to not think that way, because we can reuse.
We've got a lead and we're buying 100% of US available polystyrene monomer that is basically being tried. And our hope is that, if we show the economics that makes sense, that industry will only get bigger. And that's really a critical component.
That's fantastic. That's something really to be proud of. Thanks so much again for coming on today, Eric.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate it. Thanks for sharing.
Sure. And those of you listening on your treadmill or you're in your hot tub or wherever the heck you're listening to this audio or watching the video on your computer, thanks for listening. We're really glad you're here. We hope that you'll click right down here to subscribe and become part of the FangledCast family. And tell a friend, fax an old person, let them know that podcasts exist. And we'll see you on the next FangledCast. Have a great day, everybody.
Brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.